So what's behind Saudi Arabia and thumbing their nose at the U.S.? The jobs report came out today, and Wall Street sank. It's the business news headlines for Friday, the 7th day of October. Great, as always, to have you with us again today. In other news, new cars are coming back to dealer showrooms, but can Americans afford them? Adding to the supply chain troubles, a dwindling number of truck drivers. Speaking of trucks, Tesla says they will finally deliver some soon. Lawsuits and student loan forgiveness made the news. We've got the Wall Street Report and our employers putting too much stock in Gen Z. We'll check it out. Let's go.
Insight on Business, the News Hour with Michael Libby is made possible through the support of Focus and Find, a socially responsible way to acquire diverse talent. FocusandFind.com. Taro International for corporate and personal training to achieve, lead, and outclass. TERO.com. The National Tractor Parts Dealer Association, the original agriculture equipment recyclers and suppliers at NTPDA.com.
Thank you, Hunter Pease, and it is the Friday edition of the Business News Headlines. Thanks so very much for being with us again today. Only two more working days until Monday, right? Hey, you want to reach us on Twitter, you can always find us there at IOB_NewsHour. Well, we shared this story earlier that OPEC Plus decided to cut oil production by 2 million barrels a day. The question is, why would Saudi Arabia, an ally of the U.S., stick it to America? The answer is pretty simple. Think money. The price of a barrel of oil dropped from close to $140 to less than $80, and this move is designed to drive up the price of oil. Think supply and demand. CNN is reporting that because of its heavy dependence on oil revenues, the Saudi economy has a history of falling victim to boom and bust cycles in the oil market, where high prices bring in a flow of cash followed by downturns. Experts say the kingdom is trying to protect itself from such an eventuality. This year, the kingdom is expected to register its first budget surplus after 8 years of deficits caused by low oil prices and the COVID-19 pandemic. For its budget to break even, global oil supplies must be around $79 a barrel, according to the International Monetary Fund. Last month, prices dropped to under $85 a barrel from a high of $139 just 7 months ago. And that was a warning sign for Saudi Arabia and other oil exporters who depend on oil for a majority of their revenue. And of course, the rise in oil prices will also have an impact on gasoline prices. Hang on. The Bureau of Labor Statistics released the jobs report for September, and the U.S. added more jobs than what was originally predicted. The economy added 263,000 jobs in September, slightly more than economists had estimated. While still robust, the headline number marks the second consecutive months of falling totals. That, coupled with job openings, showed some sharp declines, and it points to a labor market slowdown, so to speak, an outcome that the Federal Reserve is seeking as it battles decades-high inflation. Getting a larger share of people into the workforce can help bring down wage growth. That's one of several factors Fed officials fear could keep inflation high. The September report showed that labor force participation rate ticked down to 62.3% from 62.4% the month before. That ain't much, but it's kind of where the Fed wants to go. Meanwhile, the unemployment rate for September fell back to its half-century low of 3.5% from 3.7%, and that's a result of the decline in the number of people looking for work. All of this signals that the Fed will, in November, hike interest rates once again. The impact? It's mixed. The jobs report spooked traders on Wall Street, as it's another sign that interest rates will get another boost from the Fed. Now, if we look back, the fact that the U.S. added 236,000 jobs during a difficult time in our economy is really pretty staggering. Consider that the pre-pandemic number of new jobs hovered below 200,000 jobs for months and months. Those numbers from Wall Street, as ugly as they are coming up in just a bit. You know, for months we've been sharing that automakers had cars sitting in lots waiting for parts, but now new vehicles are headed to dealer showrooms, but the question is, who's able to afford them? CNBC is reporting that an increasing number of Americans might not want them or be able to make the numbers work. With the Federal Reserve aggressively hiking interest rates to fight inflation, consumers are finding that the cost of financing a new car is suddenly a lot higher than it was even earlier this year. That's expected to cut demand and add new pressure to the auto industry, which has been struggling with depleted inventories during the pandemic. At the end of the third quarter, Cox Automotive found the new vehicle loan rate was 7%. That's up 2 percentage points for the year. The loan rate in the used market was up by the same amount, 2%, to 11%. That also according to Cox Automotive. The higher cost for car financing comes as household budgets are already squeezed by decades-high inflation. That means that many Americans may no longer be able to afford the new cars that are starting to arrive on dealer lots. Automakers could offset costs with financing deals and discounts, but don't bet on it. Companies have vowed not to return to discounting because they want to protect their record profits. So just how pricey are new vehicles? Let's do the math. Edmunds reports the average amount financed for new vehicles hit a record of $41,347 during the third quarter. That's up from $40,600 during the second quarter and $38,300 a year ago. And in case you're wondering, a $40,000 car at 7.5% interest with $2,000 down, the monthly payment for 72 months is $792 a month. See what you learn here? Well, you won't want to hear this story because it has to do with supply chain, another factor slowing delivery of just about everything. According to the Department of Labor, the number of trucking jobs in the U.S. actually fell last month. Fox Business is reporting that the truck transportation sector saw a loss of 11,400 jobs in the sector between August and September, just 1 month. So what's going on? Bob Costello, the chief economist for the American Trucking Association, tweeted, quote, "It suggests that small fleets are folding and or fleets are right-sizing," end quote. The loss of jobs in truck transportation in September comes while an ongoing trucker shortage that began well before the pandemic continues. In early September, American Trucking Association president and CEO Chris Spear noted in a letter that there was an existing shortage of 80,000 drivers. Staying with trucking for just a moment, in a surprise move, Elon Musk now says the long-awaited electric trucks promised to Pepsi will be delivered in December. The Rob Report is reporting that after years of being behind schedule, the electric semis are in production, and Tesla confirmed the company will deploy its first deliveries to PepsiCo on December 1st. PepsiCo also released a statement adding that it's expecting a fleet of battery-operated big rigs to support plants in Sacramento and Modesto, California. Tesla initially unveiled its plans for electric Class 8 cargo trucks way back in 2017, and they were slated to arrive in 2019. At the time, pre-orders poured in from big-name players including Anheuser-Busch and Walmart, as well as PepsiCo, which reserved 100 trucks. The food and beverage maker is aiming to dispatch 15 vehicles by the end of this year. And in true Tesla fashion, the automaker is touting the semi as the safest, most comfortable truck ever. And the Twitter-happy CEO, meanwhile, said, quote, "It's super fun to drive," end quote. And here's some legal news about the Biden administration and the student loan forgiveness effort. Business Insider is reporting that a conservative lawsuit against President Biden's student loan forgiveness rose and fell in the span of just 2 days. Early in the week, the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, that's a conservative law firm, filed a federal lawsuit on behalf of the Brown County Taxpayers Association challenging Biden's $20,000 student debt relief plan. The group argued that the broad loan forgiveness had an improper racial motive by intentionally helping black borrowers. It added that it violated the constitutional right of the separation of powers by carrying out the relief without congressional approval. What happened? Well, a federal judge struck the case down. In a court filing, the judge wrote that the group lacked standing with their arguments and dismissed the case. But he did say, quote, "A substantial question remains as to whether plaintiff can demonstrate that it will suffer irreparable harm," end quote. What goes up must come down, and on Friday, Wall Street suffered yet again. Jobs data and the fear of more rate hikes sunk in, and traders returned to a sell-off mood. The Dow tanked by 630 points to end the session at 29,296, while the Nasdaq lost 420 points, closing the week at 10,652. And the S&P 500 was off by 104 points, ending the trade at 3639. Friday's losses trimmed the gains for what started out to be a big comeback week for stocks. The major averages still ended the week higher but gave back most of the gains from the rally that kicked it off. The Dow rose 2% for the week, while the S&P added 1.5%. The Nasdaq eked out an 0.8% gain. And finally, there is this, and this has to do with employers and Gen Z. Fortune writes that businesses may be placing too much attention on the likes and dislikes of Gen Z. The group consists of only 68 million people. That is a relatively small number compared with the millennial and baby boomer generations. That said, millennial and zoomer preferences have broad overlap. And, as one career expert told Fortune, not everything is about generational divides. The desire for flexibility and to work from home, for instance, I don't think that's Gen Z. I think that's COVID, she said. Whatever it is, that is a driving force for many people seeking jobs. They want, yes, they want that flexibility. And if work from home is in the mix, so much the better. Well, that's a wrap for the Friday edition of the Business News Headlines. Programming note, we will be back up on News Talk 1540 KXEL on Sunday, noon Central. And yes, we do stream. For all of us that put this together each and every day, Chap Ramsey is our production coordinator, sales and marketing, Aaron Libby. The voice of the Business News Hour is Hunter Pease, and the music you're listening to right now is arranged, composed, and conducted by our friend James Goodlett of Jam Good Productions. For all those folks, my name's Michael Libby. Have yourself a great weekend. Be safe, be well, be careful. Most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good day.